Good evening. It is good to be with you and to be able to join here on this afternoon and to study a portion of God's Word together. We have some visitors with us, and we are grateful that you are able to be with us this evening, and hope that you will find a chance and an opportunity to come back and be with us. On our Wednesday evening young adult class, we have a book that is titled Satan's Assault on the Faith. And it goes through several different lesson points, things that Satan is doing to attack more or less the modern events, if you will, towards the faith. Evolution, medical ethics, homosexuality and gay marriage, entertainment versus worship, weak teaching and preaching, elders who follow and don't want to be elders, those that don't want elders, a lack of church discipline, pornography, wolves in our midst, biting and devouring one another, materialism. And this past week, that is when we went over it, but let's be real. If you're in our class, you know we don't do a lesson in a week. The past month, we've gone over the idea of indifference and how Satan assaults the faith and attacks the faith with the idea of people who are indifferent. Now the lesson, primarily is geared toward zeal and no zeal. That's the way that lesson's laid out. So it pulls from the primary text of Revelation chapter 3 and Laodicea, where we're either hot or cold and not lukewarm. And so we went through some of the things of why being hot or cold was more preferred than lukewarm, and how we always need to be of use to God, how we can always be on fire for Him, be useful to Him. And we started talking about some of the dangers of being indifferent and what happens when you're indifferent. And then someone at work was talking about some of the problems that we were having. And I was like, well, we're just getting complacent. And he was like, yeah, we're real indifferent, aren't we? And I was like, yeah, here we go again. Another event happened around the ball field, and people were like, you're just out there drifting around. You have no intentionality in you. And so just one thing after another, and I got to thinking, well, I guess that we got a sermon in here somewhere with all of this idea of I just don't care. I'm just going to go through the motions. We're either complacent or indifferent, or we're just drifting about. And all of these are a problem. And we're going to look at some of those problems and some of those issues tonight as to why being indifferent, why being complacent, why ideally and most of the time this idea of drifting is such a big problem, and the things that will go along with us if we begin to drift. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1, it says this: therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. There's a problem with drifting. Oftentimes, it ends with you drifting away. I had a friend of mine. We went canoeing, and he said, I'm gonna ride the inner tube, and I'm just gonna float down the Elk River. It would go from Vito to Elkmont. It's a real lazy strip. And he said, I'm just going to float. I'm going to be like Uncle Cracker. I'm just going to drift away. You know, I'm going to just go down here. We're going to have a good time. And so as he began to drift, and he hit every spider web and tree limb and hit the bank, and as he bounced out from underneath all those tree limbs and the bank, he would be in the broad open sun, and he stayed in that same position. So that when we got down that 2.5 hour little float, he was red, crispy on top, and uncooked underneath. I mean, it was just all on one side, not the other. And so when we think about this idea of there's a problem with drifting, And you're spending twice as much time in the sun as anybody else because you're just not intentional about it. And then we can hear stories about people who go on a boating trip or they go rafting and they're inattentive to what they're doing. They're indifferent. They have no focus to hitting the right spot and they're just out there drifting. And the next thing you know, they were supposed to get out before the waterfall. They didn't realize the waterfall was there and they go over the waterfall to their impending death. So we have these things of all of these are problems because we're just not paying attention. And it don't cost you anything to pay attention. Okay? I tell those kids that all the time in T-ball. It don't cost you a dime to pay attention. So here we go. Can we have some focus? Can we have some intentionality? Can we have some idea about us to where we're not just simply drifting and going through the motions? And the question is, spiritually, are we as individuals drifting? Are we as a church, are we drifting? You know, we can't just go along and feel like that we've ever got it figured out, that we've ever got it made. As soon as you think that boat is on course, there, and you've got it on course, hey, we're in the current, we're going the right way, your job now turns from, I'm going to go to the current and get in it, to how do I maintain it and stay in it? It never at any point can you just simply say, hey, we're just going to coast. Hey, we're going to drift. We're just going to float around and whatever happens, happens. And we're going to be okay with that. We're fine with that. Because that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to become comfortable. He wants you to come to the point where you're like, I got it made. I got it figured out. I'm just going to float along. I'm on coast. This is smooth sailing. I'm glad I got out of all that difficulty. I'm glad I got out of the tree limbs. I'm glad I got off the rocks. I'm glad I got off the bank and I'm in the middle of the current and I'm going the right direction. I got it made now. Because who knows what lies ahead? It could be a rock in the middle of the current. It could be that the river turns and breaks. It could be that a tree fell in the middle of the river and now you have to veer around the tree to get back into the current. It could just simply be that your boat loses course and loses direction and the next thing you know, you're out of the current, you're into the eddy, and you're back into the bushes. This often happens when we're unaware to what's going on around us. It's not to say that we don't care, but it's just the simple fact that we become unaware. We have so much going on in our own individual lives that we're like, hey, you know, this is going to take intense focus. And we miss the forest for the trees, so to speak. We're so focused in on the small, minute details that we forget what's going on around us and we may be getting encapsulated by sin. We may be getting overthrown by the world and before we know it, we're so far away from where we ought to be because we're looking at one small little thing with our blinders on that we're unaware of all of the dangers that are impending ahead. We want to be focused. We want to have intentionality. We want to know where we're going, but that does not mean that we go, hey, you know, I'm not going to realize that there's sin all around me. I'm not going to realize that there's problems with my brethren. I'm not going to realize that there's issues going on around me that I could help and I could show some attention to and that I could show some love. Because one day we'll find ourselves high and mighty up on our high horse and we'll think we're better than everyone else. And then we'll see how far away from the Scriptures we truly are. One of the things that happens is that when you drift, you become subject to the tide. You really have no control over where you go if you decide to drift. It is simply you're going to get pushed wherever the current decides to take you. I can tell you numerous times I've seen people similar to my friend on the Elk River when we go to the beach and they'll get in their big little raft thing or they'll lay on their long layout beach inflatable deal or some of them depending on how good of a time they think they're having they'll get an inflatable mattress out there and set it out in the ocean and next thing you know that current has done pushed them way off out there where they're just like a speck. Well, you say what happens is they became unaware of what's going on. They drifted away and they got drifted and pushed to where the ocean wanted to take them. And what's going to happen to us is that we can get pushed into where the world wants us to go. And as we go downstream, guess what? Just the speed increases. And as we begin to drift and we go down, it just gets faster and faster and faster, and it becomes harder and harder to stop. It becomes harder and harder to navigate. It becomes harder and harder for us to get back to where we ought to be. You know, we have to be aware that there are those who are around us who may be drifting as well. And the problem about drifting is it requires no effort. You don't have to put anything into it. You can just kind of go through. And when you're indifferent about things, you know, well, just whatever. It becomes the old, you know, joke, the husband and wife. The husband goes, well, where you want to get? I don't care, wherever you want. And then you name off five places, and no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. Well, do you not care, or do you care? Well, when we become indifferent about things, and people go, maybe we were once one who was on fire, and people would come to us with questions and concerns and Bible questions and people to talk to, people to study with, and they would come to us and they would talk to us about situations. And we used to be like, yeah, and you would want to get involved and help them the best you can. But then you become two or three times, it's like, well, you know, I think you'll just figure that out the best on your own. Well, I don't know. You know, it really doesn't affect me like it affects you. Maybe you should just figure it out. We start giving these indifferent answers. What's going to end up happening? They're going to quit coming to you at all. Because they come to you for guidance and direction. And you've basically said, I don't care. And when we become complacent, when we become indifferent, when we become to do things that way, people go, like, well, they don't care. Guess what? I don't care either. And when that I don't care either plagues and grows, it's going to be like that yeast in the that leaven, and it's that leaven is just going to leaven the whole lump. And eventually the whole group is just going to be like, well, you know, it's just whatever. You know, we'll just do whatever y'all want to do. We're indifferent. We don't care. We're not going to say something's right. We're not going to say something's wrong, but it might be right for you. And I believe that is where many of the quote-unquote churches have ended with themselves being, well, it's probably right for you, instead of going to that which is the truth. Continuing in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 2, it says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own word. How shall we escape? If we become those who we need to give more earnest heed to, lest we drift away. Because if we drift away, how shall we escape? If we neglect, we don't pay attention to, we don't encourage, we don't water, we don't fertilize, we don't grow those things. If we neglect this great salvation, if we take it for granted, if we act like it doesn't matter, if we begin to go around and live our lives like, well, you know, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe He's the Son of God. Yes, I believe that He died for my sins. And yes, I was washed in His blood. I was baptized. I was given new life. But you do you. And we become where we just lose our intentionality. We're able to go and be moved by every word of doctrine that tickles our ears. Don't neglect this great salvation. Don't neglect it. What are some things that happen as a warning sign to us that we're beginning to drift, that we're beginning to become indifferent? Because I will be 100% honest with you. Those who are really indifferent, those who are truly drifting, don't know it. They don't know it. I would say the vast majority, if not all, they don't know it. They don't know that they're just drifting. They don't know that they're indifferent. They don't know that they have become complacent, because you know why? Most of the time they're just like everybody else, for one. And number two, well, I'm not really doing anything wrong. So if I'm not doing anything wrong, am I not right? And that was the plague of the biggest problem at the church at Laodicea. They had become like, well, you know, I'm not really doing anything wrong. I'm not doing a whole lot right either. But I mean, at least I'm not doing the wrong stuff. At least I'm not bad. And I think that's our approach as well. But we don't know it when we become indifferent. We don't know it when we become the drift. So what are some warning signs that I myself, individually, may be one who is drifting? Well, have you lost your desire to study God's Word and pray? Have you lost that desire? Hey, well, I just don't feel it anymore. Well, if you don't feel it anymore, you're looking for a feeling. I don't know what feeling you're looking for. And when we begin to lose that desire, when we lose that ambition, when we lose that zeal to know more about the Him who created me, what does that begin to tell us? Well, have I really lost the desire? Well, I don't know. Have you? What about this? What about, like, do you find yourself going, well, when was the last time you really read the Bible? Oh, yesterday. And then the follow-up question would very well be, well, what did you read about? The gospel. Okay. Specifically speaking, what was it that you read? And if you can't answer that, if you don't know what it was that you went and read and you went and studied, well, really ask yourself this, did you really go read it? Did you really study it? And if the answer to no, that is no, then you have to begin to ask yourself the next question, well, what do I need to do to begin to study it? What are some things that I need to put into motion that I can begin to study, that I can begin to do these things, and that I can begin to pray? You see, this is of utmost importance, because this gives us the direction that we need to live a long and happy life serving God. And we find out that time and time again that Jesus goes away to pray, to talk to God. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And time again, we find Jesus slipping away to go pray because he didn't want to fall under the plague of being indifferent. He didn't want to fall under the society of those around him who were like, well, at least I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not going to be those who are just high and mighty upon themselves. He was the strongest man alive, the wisest man alive. But what did he do time and time again? He went and prayed because he needed strength. He needed encouragement as well here in this fleshly life, because the temptations of the devil are so great. He tells them in a parable, he says, you should pray always and not lose heart. In Luke chapter 18 and in verse 1. Another warning sign is this. You begin to not want to spend time with God's people. You begin to go where you're just like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to go spend time with God's people. I want to seclude myself. I want to go away. I don't want to go around them. I don't want to be around them. Maybe because they know I'm indifferent. Maybe because they're all good and really good, and I'm not so good. Well, there's only one way that we're going to be able to grow, and that's to be challenged. There's only one way for us to continue to encourage one another, and that's to be around those who can be an encouragement to us. And oftentimes, one of the things that I find that some people cling to is they go, well, you know, there's, who am I going to be an encouragement to? Who am I going to encourage and strengthen? Well, I can tell you that answer. If you're not around the brethren, nobody. Absolutely no one. And when we begin to be around the brethren and we desire to be with them and we can encourage them, then we begin not only to grow ourselves, but we also begin to grow those around us. And we begin to be that person once more that people will go to when they have a question, when they're looking for guidance, when they're looking for some determination, when they need to just get something off their chest. Because you have become less indifferent and you have become more directionalized. You've started to guide your boat instead of just simply drifting. We're supposed to be concerned and edify and encourage one another. We should encourage and edify one another daily. And you know, I think about this oftentimes, like, if we're to do this daily with one another, the difficult part is to go, how far is the one another? Well, the one another is everyone. Is there some people that it's more easy for us to talk to than others? Absolutely. That's the way that we're bent. It's the natural motion and things of life. And we should never stop encouraging one another, no matter who the one another is, to always grow in one another. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it tells us, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for no one is there to help him up. If you knew your brother was going to fall, and you knew, hey, this is the day, this is the time that they're going to fall, that they're going to stumble, would you make it a point to be there? Well, I think, posed with that question in that way, everyone here would say yes. I would want to be there to help them, to keep them from falling. Or if nothing else, if I couldn't keep them from falling, we could help each other back up. But the problem is we don't ever know when somebody's going to stumble. And too oftentimes, if we wait till our brother stumbles, they've done rolled down the hill and it's all the more difficult to get them stood back up. And that could very well be because they're drifting, but more than likely because we're both drifting and we're drifting in opposite directions. We lose an idea of we're more excited about stuff of the world than we are about stuff of God. Does that mean that we can't get excited over a concert? No. Does that mean we can't get excited over going to a ball game and watch them? No. But when that replaces the excitement of sharing, spreading the gospel, being with the brethren, and we prefer the world over the church, then I have to say, are we getting stuff mixed up here? Are we getting our priorities misaligned? Are we just simply going where the world wants us to go and flowing with the current? These are all warning signs that we should be more mindful of the things that we're doing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. It's of Satan. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 talks about these evil people, and of the which they say lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Are we lovers of pleasure and of things of this world over the love of God? So what are we supposed to do about it? Well, we need to check ourselves and look at those warning signs and say, do any of these apply to me? How can I better help this? Well, and we talked about some of the things that we need to do. We need to study more. We need to pray more. We need to encourage one another. We need to be there for one another. But one of the things that we need to get an oar in our hands, and we need to paddle the boat, and we need to listen to the guide, And we need to do what the guide tells us to do. If he says two strokes on the right, well, we need to paddle two strokes on the right. If he says two backstrokes on the right, well, buddy, we're giving two backstrokes on the right. And we are following the guide into all that we do. And we've got to keep rowing. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 5, he says this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. When we begin to row and row in the right direction. Everyone looks forward to retirement. I'm already looking forward to it. Thinking about doing it tomorrow. May do it. I don't know. Let me just call it in. And we let that affect us spiritually as well. And we go, hey, you know what? I'm going to retire being a Christian. But as a Christian, the work is never done. There is no retirement, but there are golden years. And they're always abounding while we are in Christ Jesus. We should always go about and we should always be for work. We should always be about His business. You know, we're going to go against the tide. And if you feel like you're going with the tide and there's nothing against you, well then are you really doing what you ought to do? Because those of the world that want you to drift with Satan are far more in number than there are those who are believers. There's many tides that sweep us to and fro, especially if we're drifting. If we're trying to paddle, expect to go oftentimes against the tide. Popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, denominationalism, false doctrines of each and every kind, liberalism, neglect, indifference, apathy, lack of interest and concern. You know, that's where we end up at. And I have to ask many times in that regard, are we on the narrow way? That is difficult and hard that leads to life? Or are we on the broad way of leisure and expectation of feeling good that leads to destruction? Because that way is easy. And that's the way that the world is going to go, because the world was going to want the easy way out and they're just going to go with the flow. Above all things, I think to help us in this is we have to have a firm anchor that is rooted in Christ. That is a strong anchor. It's dug in deep, and it's held on, and it's as strong as it could be. We have to be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as long as you have been taught, abounding in it always with thanksgiving. We should no longer be children, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking in truth and love that we may grow up in all things in Him who is head, Christ. Where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves on a boat that has no anchor, no hold, no steadfastness. We have an anchor of hope rooted in Jesus Christ. I can tell you this, the dangers of drifting, of being indifferent, of being complacent, of being fine with it, it don't matter, are real and true and difficult. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we individually are not just drifting. We need to get back in the Word. We need to get on our knees and pray. We need to encourage one another that we may not be of the same mind. We look and examine the signs of our own lives. Are we studying Him? Have we lost our desire to be with those who are like us, of like precious faith? And back in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Have we drifted away? Let us not neglect that great salvation that is in Jesus Christ. That salvation that saved then is what saves today. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and as we sing.